speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, someday the Bible tells us that Christians, those who do live faithful before God, will be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God. Yet at the same time, God wants us to understand that there are so many things in life that can take us away from Him. There are so many trials that we face in life that if we allow these things to consume us, that we might actually walk away from God and therefore miss out on heaven's reward of eternal salvation in heaven. Also, there are temptations that we face, and Satan is certainly alive and he runs rapidly throughout the course of this world. And if you and I are not cautious, if you and I are not constantly on guard against the ways in which the devil tempts us, you and I might fall to the temptations and sin against our God and therefore lose out on the reward that God has for us in heaven someday. God identifies, though, that we can indeed not only be courageous, but if we live in harmony with His will indeed be victorious over the trials of life and the temptations that the devil lays before us. And no other book of the Bible identifies the way in which you and I can achieve heaven as our eternal abode as the book of Colossians. As the Apostle Paul writes to the saints in Colossae, he instructs them concerning the preeminence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He identifies how that Jesus has existed eternally in heaven with God as God. And because of this, He is to be exalted. He is the one that we are to turn to. And He identifies also as that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. As the Apostle Paul writes unto these individuals, he tells them that his goal and the goal of church leaders ought to be to present everyone perfect or complete in Jesus Christ in that great and glorious day when you and I will stand before our God in judgment. As Paul writes to the saints at Colossae, he calls upon them to repent of sin, to put sin, death in their life, and then to live in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he reminds them of why. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, you were raised in Christ. At what point were they raised in Christ? What does it mean that they were raised in Christ? Good people, whenever Paul identifies that these individuals were raised in Christ, he is telling them that they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. How is it that one becomes a Christian? Good people, one who wants to be identified as a Christian, one who wants to be counted as a child of God, and then to spend eternity in heaven with our God, they must believe in the one true and living God. They must believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. They need to believe in the eternal existence of our God in heaven and not to buy into the false gods that are presented time and time again in this world. But also the Bible tells us that these individuals who want to spend eternity in heaven with our God, that they also must believe in the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the things that the prophets had prophesied concerning the coming of a Messiah, of the Anointed One, and that in coming that He is indeed the Son of the Living God and the Savior of this world. But also the Bible identifies to us as that this individual who wants to be counted as a child of God, that they must personally make that great confession that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the Living God. And to understand that making that confession, that verbal confession before mankind, is the step that God requires us to make to recognize Him as the sovereign leader as well as the Savior of the world. That it's only through the name of Christ, that it's only whenever we come in contact with the blood of Christ, that our sins are able to be forgiven and then to be counted as a child of God. And those who want to be identified as a child of God, they must be willing to make that great verbal confession about Christ. But also, alien sinners then are commanded by our God to put Christ on in baptism. to obey the Lord is a way that I presented it in the PowerPoint presentation. Why do I say obey the Lord? Because the Lord commands us to be baptized. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, the words of Jesus Himself said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." The day of Pentecost that the Lord's church was started, we understand there that those individuals who wanted to be identified as a child of God, to have their sins forgiven, the Apostle Peter told those individuals that day that they needed to repent and then to be baptized in the name of Jesus by the authority of Christ. Christ, by His authority, commands mankind to be baptized. And in order for one to be counted as a Christian, as a child of God, this individual will submit to the obedience of Christ in baptism. And why then does God command us to be baptized? Because He wants us to bury the old person of sin, and then to understand that these souls who submit to Christ in baptism, that they are raised a new creation in Christ. They are raised with a second chance. They are raised as a new creature, an opportunity to live a life that is not consistent with the old life, but rather a life that now focuses upon our God. What is it that God identifies takes place whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Good people, our God forgives us of all of our transgression against His law. Individuals who say things that they ought not to say, our God, whenever the person is baptized, God forgives them of those things that are found against them from a verbal standpoint. But also, God looks to the totality of an individual's life and things that an individual might do, sins that an individual might engage in. Those things are forgiven whenever one puts Christ on in baptism for the forgiveness of their sin. Even things that an individual might think of, maybe they've not acted upon it, but still at the same time, these things are constantly a part of their thought, and it's only a matter of time before they act upon it. Why? Because the Scripture says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's only a matter of time before those things come out, and those things are constituted as sin in the sight of God, and God tells us that He forgives us of those things that are even within the mind. Good people, God stands willing and ready to forgive us. And He wants us to understand that as we put Christ on in baptism, that our former life now then is hidden in Christ. What does it mean that they are hidden in Christ? It means that they are forgiven. It means that they are forgotten. God no longer holds us accountable for those former things that we did that was a violation of His law. Not only does He forgive us to that level today, but the Bible tells us that if we are in Christ, if we have been baptized into Christ and live faithfully before Him, that whenever we stand before Him in the judgment, that you and I will have absolutely nothing to fear in that day. Why? Because God will not charge those things to our account. We will be identified in the way in which Jesus wants us to be identified in that day, and that is as a friend. Jesus gave His life to initiate a friendship, John chapter 15 and verse 13. And whenever we live a life of obedience in doing the things that He commands us, then we also then are called a friend of Christ. And our former life then is hidden in Christ. And Christians are called upon continually to die to living in sin. Well, what does that mean? Good people, it means that we do no longer walk in the ways of sin. We no longer seek after an unrighteous lifestyle, but rather we are seeking to live according to the righteousness of our God. It means that we are like God in the sense. God hates sin. And Christians need to grow in their love for God as well as in their understanding of the way in which God looks at sin. And you and I need to develop within ourselves a hatred for sin, to where that any time that we would violate the law of God, we hate that. Also, when we look in regard to the times that others would violate the law of God, we would hate the fact that these individuals would give their life over to such a way of life, but also the idea of dying to sin, to sinful living, means that we turn away from sin and now we turn to God to serve the true and living God. Good people, in all, God wants us to understand that sin, even though all sin and fall short of the glory of God, none of us are perfect in the sight of God. Sin must not continue to reign in our lives. Why? Because if sin reigns in our lives, the blood of Christ will avail nothing. We must repent of sin in order for us to receive the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And Paul then reminds those in Colossae that as the point when they were baptized into Christ, now they need to keep on seeking the things that are above. When they put Christ on in baptism, that was the step that put them in the right direction of keeping or to seeking the things that are above. And now the context in the Greek language identifies is that they are to keep on seeking the things that are above. What are the things that are above? Good people, I think of the love of God whenever I think about the things that are above. Our God, in His love for us, initiated His plan to redeem us, as well as develop that plan all throughout the Old Testament Scripture, and then identifies His plan in the New Testament, wherein, in an ultimate sense, Jesus Christ our Lord, the only begotten Son of God, spread His arms out at Calvary's cross, suffered immensely torment and pain, physical and emotional, for the sins that you and I commit against our God. And I look to the things that we do in our life and we're not deserving of that love, but still at the same time, God loves us. And God says, keep on seeking that love that is above. But also, God's providence. God no longer works miracles. Why? Because the age of miracles ceased whenever we had the completeness of God's message coming. There's no longer a need for that. Why? Because faith now comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the way in which God works today is providentially. And you and I need to understand that God understands the things that's going on in this world, and that God is engaged in our lives. He is aware of all that we're going through, the good as well as the things that are challenging us. And then we need to keep on seeking the providence of God to work in our lives for the good. But also, in an ultimate way, let's keep on seeking that reward that God has for us in heaven someday. How do we accomplish that? Paul reminds those in Colossae that they need to set their mind on the things that are above, on the eternal blessings. He reminds us continually in the Scripture that this world here is only temporary. And while we live here in this world, we certainly have so many blessings that we are bestowed, that are bestowed upon us by our Heavenly God. Our Father blesses us with beautiful families. Our Father blesses us with health, wealth, and the ability to go out and to enjoy life. But still at the same time, you and I as Christians know that life is not about living just a life here, but rather life has an ultimate goal, and that is to spend eternity in heaven with our God someday. And this earth, the Scripture tells us, will someday pass away, that it will melt with fervent heat, but heaven endures forever. Heaven is eternal. And God says that we need to set our mind on the eternal blessings versus the physical things that we have before us each and every day. How do we do this? Good people, we need to allow Christ to fully reign in our lives. The Apostle Paul spoke first-handedly in regard to this. Why? Because he had allowed Christ to do this in his life. And he continually faced those challenges as he was developing to that level, but still at the same time, he finally arrived in allowing himself to surrender himself fully over to Christ. And today, I want to urge each and every one of us who are Christians and those who are contemplating becoming a Christian to realize the urgency as well as the blessings that are associated with allowing Christ to fully reign in your life, surrendering yourself over to Christ and submitting to the will of Christ, not only in baptism, but each and every day, doing all that is within our power to do, to live as a true and faithful servant of the Most High God. But God also identifies in the context here of Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 or verses 8 through 10, that we have a responsibility to deal uprightly with our fellow man. In the context, He tells them that they are not to lie, but rather they need to be honest. And you and I need to understand the importance of doing all things honest in the sight of all mankind. If we claim to be in Christ, lying is not characteristic of our God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. It's not according to His divine nature. It's not one of His attributes. But rather, we find is that our God is honest and true in all sense of the manner. And as Christians, those who claim to be children of God, also then God wants us to understand the necessity of being honest on a continual basis and bowing humbly before Him and to walk according to the holy precepts that He identifies concerning Himself. And we need to do this not only in the sight of God, but to realize that we are doing this as Christians, living as righteous as we possibly can before our fellow man, shining as a light unto these individuals. Is there a plan for righteousness? Almost certainly there is, and God defines those things here in Colossians and even beyond. Are there benefits associated with being Christ-like, with being counted as one of God's children? Yes, most certainly there are. And I want to begin by saying that there are blessings in this life with the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. If you and I will live our lives as a Christian, like Christ, it will make us a better citizen of society. Take into consideration in the book of Philemon verses 1 through 25, we have in the context here with Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, and Paul is writing to Philemon, and he identifies that he, Paul, has come in contact with Onesimus, and he has taught him the way of Christ. And now, as he has come to understand the way of Christ, he's been baptized into Christ, we would infer. And based out of his obedience, then Paul is writing back to Philemon and he tells him, he says, receive him as a brother. Philemon was a brother in Christ. And he says, you receive him and treat him as a brother. For that which was once unprofitable is now profitable. You see, whenever this individual put Christ on in baptism, his standards of living became higher than what they were in the past. And as Christians, you and I, our standard of living is so much higher than those that we find in this world. And you and I will live as a better citizen amongst our society if we live a Christ-like life. But also, we will find is that we will be a more profitable servant to the Most High God. The more that we learn, the more that we act like Christ, the more that we live our life in line with the will of God, the more that we're going to understand then as to the level of servitude that God calls us unto. It's more than just attending the worship services. And attending the worship services is vital. To attend every opportunity that we have is critical, not only as it pertains to our eternal salvation, but also as it pertains to our connection with the church. But God says that whenever we understand that we serve Him not only while we're here, but that we serve Him beyond the building, that we serve Him continually in life, and the ways that we serve Him, in doing so, we become a more profitable servant unto our God. We're more beneficial to Him. But good people, also, the Bible identifies that living like Christ makes us a greater asset unto the church. The church is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the more that we live like Christ, giving ourselves fully over to the will of God, giving ourselves as true servants before the brotherhood and even amongst society, makes us of greater value even into the body of Christ. Why? Because there are so many things that we are responsible for as the church. We are responsible for teaching our own. And we get into those quarters where we need teachers and those who understand the role that we all are to play will readily be prepared to stand in and to teach our classes here. But then in like figure, not only are we to teach our own and to encourage and to love our own, we are also to reach out into the lost and dying world. And as Christians who come to a greater understanding of what it means to be like Christ, in every way we will engage ourselves with society, not living like they live, but rather engage them and challenge them to a way that you and I know is essential for eternal life in heaven with our God. But also the blessing that we have as living like Christ, the ultimate blessing is the promise that God gives us of an eternal reward in heaven someday. If we do as what Paul instructed those at Colossae to do, to seek those things that are above, and truly set our mind on those eternal blessings, good people, heaven will be our eternal reward. If we do not, then we fall prey to the ways of the devil. But if we will just give ourselves 100% over to the will of God and live as close to Christ, Christ-likeness as we possibly can, nothing or no one will stand in our way of spending eternity in heaven with our God someday. Are you a child of God? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Have you confessed Christ before man? If not, we beg and we plead unto you this hour to make that confession and to submit yourself to become a child of God through the process of baptism. If you are here and you are a member of the church, but still at the same time, you've erred from the truth, and that sin, then you would realize, has separated you from the love of God. If we can pray with you and for you today, we stand willing and ready to do that.